back. Only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
I can't prove anything just yet, but I have a sneaking suspicion there may have been some decaf in the kitchen. I never trust anybody. This is how paranoid I am about my caffeine consumption. You know, I never trust anybody else in the building to make coffee because I'm always secretly convinced that they've switched it with not even Folgers crystals, just with like dirt or something. I never trust anybody else to go ahead and make the coffee. And so today, though, I'm running a little late because the printer... Can we just talk about office printers for a second? Is there any piece of machinery in the office more despised than the printer? No, not the Xerox machine. Even the Xerox machine is more loved. Yeah, and the Xerox thing is always going on the fritz, but you know, at least it's not a printer. I mean, the printer is, you're lucky you can get 3, 4, 5 consecutive prints out of a printer without it just going south somehow. Without it binding up, or it starts to spit ink everywhere, or runs out of toner or something.
What machine is it in office space that they beat the crap out of?
It's the printer.
The printer? Yeah.
Because it has that thing where Saeed Naninajad, it says,
I thought it was the fax machine.
It's the printer, because it says, why does it say paper jam when there is no paper jam? I swear to God, it's the printer. Well, printer, fax machine, but I think it's the printer. I'm pretty sure it's the printer. Because, just comedically, because not everybody deals with a fax machine, everybody deals with a printer. Can I tell you how much the printer repair guy gets here? He gets like $175 an hour. And so it's planned obsolescence. You know it is. We can't go more than, I mean, I'm back there all the time, and Ian's taking the toner cartridge out and like kicking it down the hallway. You know, I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, it's the only way to get to work. But the only way, and what kind of a design is that when the only way to get the toner cartridge to dispense correctly is when you actually drop kick it down the hall, like you're David Beckham, you know?
Because it stirs up the stuff inside.
I know, but I know how it works, but we shouldn't have to do that. It's 2003. We have laser heart surgery. We have Scotch Guard.
You have laser printers, too. They just don't work.
They just don't work. Yeah.
You could be worse off. You could be in Kennewick right now finding out your Kmart is about to be closed down forever.
Yeah, see, we don't even have a big K in Kennewick. We just still have a Kmart there. All right. In any event. All right. So the printer is just one thing after another. Just a little bit of tardiness this morning, snowballing into a mountain of lateness. And so normally I start getting my drink on by about 11:20. And today I was running all kinds of late, and so I didn't have time to brew my own. So I had to go in there, and only true coffee addicts even know what I'm talking about here. But it's sort of like, I think it's like getting your heroin fix, and it's like it's not your heroin, it's somebody else's. And you just have to sort of trust their word that it is what it says it is. So I go in there, and the coffee pot's sitting there at like 11:30. The thing says it's full, and I always do this. Here's how pathetic and paranoid I am about my coffee consumption. Whenever I go in and there's already coffee made, I kind of paw around in the trash like it was the Central Park squirrel. Looking at the coffee, you know, because we get these individual sealed servings that come prepackaged from Starbucks or whatever. But there's Starbucks, and then there's some other brand. Like in our cupboard, there's Starbucks prepackaged one serving containers, and then there's another brand that I've never used because I don't like things that are different. And so whenever there's coffee already made, I start rooting through the trash, seeing, like, what's in the coffee that's made. Like, who was it that made this, and what did they make it with? Because, and here's why.
We have therapists that can help you with this.
Look, I'm just saying, Well, never mind then. I won't tell you the whole thing.
What did you find in the garbage?
Well, you see, at one time, about 3 months ago, I took some coffee that was already made, and Craig Lockwood from KWJJ had made it, and he had made decaf. And that can't happen. That can happen. It just can't. It cannot. And so I always root through the trash to see who made the coffee before me. And this time it was really disturbing because there was no coffee. Like, there was no empty packet. So I don't know where the coffee came from. It's from an unknown source. It could just be chicory for all I know. That's a word you don't hear much anymore. Chicory, huh? Points for style for that one. Anyway, so I had an extra cup. So I then made my own, had an extra cup of that just to be on the safe side. So I've had a total of 3 cups, the source of which I can only identify for one of them. So I've either only had 1 cup of coffee or I've had 3 cups of coffee. Either way, it's either 1 cup too few or 1 cup too many. So I'm going to be grumpy regardless. Boy, this is a long, pointless. All right, anyway, it's 6 minutes. No, it's not 7 minutes and 5 seconds after the hour of... This is embarrassing. After the hour at 12, and this is the month of January, in the year of our Lord, 2003. The Rick Emerson Show.
live from the studios. Hot Talk, Eddie Cape, Jake, along with Tim Riley, Sarah Dillon, Matt Peterson. We're here. We got Gary Baumgartner from CNN Radio coming up later on. Jim Roop is going to tell us about the lowest rated American Music Awards in history. The lowest rated AMAs in history, hosted by the Osbournes. That wasn't even enough to get me to watch it. I didn't even set my eyes on it. Not even the Osbournes get me to watch that piece of dreck. Talk about Joe Millionaire coming up later on. News at Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis. Top 5, Jolie from the front desk and all that. Here's Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom.
From the KOTK Newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
And this news is brought to you by AutoZone. Now's the time to make sure your car starter, alternator, and battery are ready for colder weather. Get into AutoZone for a free starting and charging system test today. Get into the zone, AutoZone. I got a brand new car, so I don't have to worry about it.
What is it? You going to do one today?
I got one yesterday.
Which is?
A Subaru Impreza. It's a little sports car. It's a navy blue, 5-speed.
Is it the WRX?
It is.
What do we know about the Subaru Impreza, Matt Peterson?
All-wheel drive, turbo. Yeah. It's like a real sporty little fun little car.
It's a sporty, fun little car.
It really is.
Okay. Is it just plain fun?
It's got cruise control, too. And if somebody gets any ideas to say, throw me in the trunk, it's got internal trunk releases.
Well, you know, the fact that they would even devise those is kind of unnerving. You know what I mean? Like, why... That's like that billboard about, you know, don't use the stove for burning your children or whatever.
Right.
You know, like, why would they even come up with those? Why would they even have internal trunk releases unless there had been a history of people being put in the back of Imprezas and taken off to a watery grave somewhere?
You never know.
There are actually multiple manufacturers that are starting to put those in their cars. Mm-hmm. In case kids are, like, playing around or whatever and get trapped.
All right.
So that the kids can pull the little thing in to get themselves out.
Is this like those kids in those horror stories you'd always hear about go off and they find an abandoned refrigerator and they crawl inside? Let me tell you, that never happens. Why? No one ever finds an abandoned refrigerator. When's the last time you saw an abandoned refrigerator somewhere?
Last time I was up in the mountain shooting.
Well, yeah,
I saw one in St. John's.
But that's if you're hanging out with hicks. I mean, it doesn't happen in normal neighborhoods. You never just see refrigerators sitting around someplace.
No, but off in the woods and in the hills, you can find many things like that.
Here's the thing. The kids crawling inside refrigerators and suffocating, you know what that's like? That's like the towel snapping in the locker room leading to 75 stitches. Never happened. Never occurred to anybody. Never going to happen. It's never going to take place. This is also something that girls are never warned about. Girls are never lectured by their coach, in PE class, that if you snap towels, you're going to get an open wound and need stitches. Am I right?
Yes.
Am I right about this? You're never warned.
I really wasn't warned.
No, but guys are always warned. And guys are always told about there was this one guy named...
Snap the towel where?
Well, you know, like if you're doing what my dad would call playing grab ass, which is basically just... And that's also horsing around or roughhousing. But we were always told in gym class, no, there was this one guy named Ted in Philadelphia. Somebody snapped a towel at him and he needed 300 stitches or something. And so we were always... That was a cautionary tale to get us off the towel snapping front. Have we even started the news yet?
No.
Oh, I got the hiccups there. Whoa.
It's from bad coffee.
It really is. Okay.
Let's begin with the Bush Watch.
He's the president, resident, kind of in charge. He's got the whole
bunch
of
stuff. There's no hiccup.
That's my bush. I'm giving the hot button hiccup button status
for
the day.
It's my bush. I can't believe he's actually in the White House. Back on my own. That's my
bird. I'm feeling you today, man. You really kind of had that when you were selling it.
Oh, man, I'm feeling it. I got the energy today.
See, I think it was 3 cups of coffee, not 1.
See, the hiccup comes on too quickly to hit the cough button. The cough button, you can feel a cough coming. See, the hiccup, though, see, like there, the hiccup just comes out of nowhere, and it's the thing.
Okay. Well, President Bush's job approval rating, as he nears the middle of his term, has dropped below 60% for the first time since 9/11. It is now at 58%. It was 63%. Pollsters say the recent drop is a slap on the hand from the American
people. It's not 63, it's 58.
Yeah, 58, that's
okay.
What I meant.
Yeah.
From 63.
Yeah.
Right. Anyway, W says if the North Koreans behave, he'll send them some food.
Prior to North Korea making the decision it made, that I had instructed our Secretary of State to approach North Korea about a bold initiative. An initiative which would talk about energy and food.
Yes, the North Korean situation is not a crisis, but an opportunity.
To bind together nations in the neighborhood and around the world to make it clear to the North Koreans that we expect this issue to be resolved peacefully. And we expect them to disarm.
Time is running up for Saddam, too.
the world came together, and we have given him one last chance to disarm. So far, I haven't seen any evidence that he is disarming.
Okay, who wants
people to stop tap dancing?
Yeah, who wants to take that one? We've given him one last chance to disarm. We haven't seen any evidence he's going to disarm. Who wants to handle
because
that?
There's no evidence he has anything to disarm.
There you go, Tim Riley.
Well, it's also like his eighth last chance in his little like string of last chances.
That's like kids operating yesterday calling Oregon the last best place.
But you notice the real enemies here, the North Koreans, we're offering them treats.
Well, not only are we offering them treats, but we could, I mean, they have nuclear weapons.
Right.
Like, they actually have them. They're there.
We'll send you some Pringles if you get rid of your nuclear weapons.
We ought to throw some snack pack pudding or something.
Well, did
and
you
maybe
see that quote from North
like,
Korea
comply.
The other day? North Korea threatened to turn, this is not like some conspiracy thing. This is on the Washington Post. they threatened to turn America into a sea of fire. Did you see that? And they said, we'll turn you into a sea of fire. And they go, what do you mean? Well, we'll nuke you. And Iraq, you know, and so that's totally, it's like when you have cancer and it's too big to get your brain around the fact that you have cancer, so you focus on your athlete's foot. That's what Iraq is. They're the athlete's foot of the Earth nuclear body.
Oh, and W. Tider Saddam thumbing his nose at the rest of the world.
He must have gone. I'm sick and tired of games and deception. And that's my view of timetables.
But you send over a pickup truck and I'll throw all those weapons in the back. We'll get
Jesus.
This over with.
Well, and then I don't know if Matt was here. You weren't here for what Ari Fleischer last week when it was pointed out to us astutely by a listener. Ari Fleischer said that, that Saddam has given no evidence that he doesn't have anything. So in other words, and that was his quote at the press briefing.
You can't prove a negative.
So in other words, now not finding anything is proof that he's got something.
Right.
It's all very confusing.
Well, he's really good at hide and seek. Yeah. That's it.
That is today's Bushwatch.
He's the president in residence. He's kind of in charge. He's got the whole country saying, oh, that's my Bush.
I don't want to get any hiccup cures in the email or anything. Then all of a sudden, no, my cousin Seymour had hiccups. It's all about a paper bag with.
Are you sure the coffee wasn't spiked?
It might have been. It might have been. Somebody did that to my German teacher one time. Somebody, and it wasn't me. It really was a friend of mine. Spiked my German teacher's coffee one time with some amphetamines. That was an interesting German class. All right, let's go to Sean. Sean, he's a full-time listener on a cell phone. What's up with you?
Good morning, Rick. How are you?
What do you got?
Hey, we actually had a slightly demented coach in high school, and he shared a much worse towel-snapping story with us.
Oh, no. Is this about the testicles?
Yes.
Is this about the scrotum and the unraveling?
Laceration yep. of the scrotum, yes.
Yeah, see what I'm saying? We all heard this same story. Every guy.
Every guy anywhere has heard a story similar to it.
Yep.
Either worse, maybe not, but yes, this was horrible, and yes, it inflicted a lot of mental anguish.
Every guy in every gym class at some point has been told the story by his coach about some towel snapping that was going on. Guy got snapped with a towel, and I'm saying this now for journalistic and medicinal purposes. A guy was snapped with a towel in the scrotum, and it lacerated the scrotum, and there was some unraveling of the seminal vesicles.
Exactly.
But which is obviously, you know, like, made up is obviously a lie, but we
it's
all
an urban legend.
Completely, but did you? I totally believed it.
You have to at that age, and plus, you know, you think about those things a lot at that age since you
seriously
use them quite a bit. So.
Yeah, you're down there like 7, 8, 9 times a day, and you're like, what would I do?
It's like losing, I need those.
You know what it is? Losing that at that age is like losing cable. It's like, what are you going to do? What? Seriously, it's like losing HBO. All your entertainment's just going to be gone.
Then they found the missing items locked in an abandoned refrigerator somewhere in the woods. Let's talk about Ralph Nader.
Okay.
He claims W's economic policies will be a disaster.
This thing is not going to go through. What makes you think it's going to go through when the whole lobbying power of Intel, Cisco, Microsoft, and all those giant Silicon Valley companies who don't want pressure from their shareholders to put out dividends, we're going to fight this.
You're a populist, Ralph. You should...
Anyway, Nader is asked by Tucker Carlson if he's going to run for president again in 2004.
You think I want to give you that?
Yeah, I do.
No.
Yeah, I do.
No, no.
You got 10 seconds left.
Focus on Joe Lieberman tonight. It's his day.
Oh, you don't want to spoil it for Joe Lieberman?
Yeah, from the progressive left. I'm Ralph Nader.
Yeah, baby.
Night for Crossfire.
Ah. Again, I'm trying to hold my breath, but it's not really working when I have to make pithy comments every 35 seconds or so. My hiccups are sending Sarah into hysterics, by the way. She's off into a gale of laughter over there at my hiccups. What is hiccups? It's an imbalance of carbon dioxide or something. I think this is the first time. Can I tell you this?
Ever.
I think this is the first time in, well, 15 years of being on the radio and almost 10 years of doing talk radio. I think this is the first time I've ever had hiccups on the air.
Only 2.5 more hours left to go.
Excellent. George in Wilsonville, what's up with you?
You know, decaf causes hiccups. Didn't you know that?
No, you're bluffing.
No, I'm totally serious.
Oh, God.
I resent the fact that it even exists.
Oh, yeah, no.
Point?
Decaf is an abomination unto God.
You took the words right out of my mouth. Hey, I grew up, my dad worked at General Atomic, and I grew up with a different myth about grab ass.
Okay.
Which was two technicians were dealing with the reactor core, and they were pulling rods in and out.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of them went up behind the lead technician and goosed him somehow, and he jerked backwards and pulled the rod all the way out, and they both blew up. That's the myth, and they pulled one of the technicians off the ceiling with a rod through his body.
Rod through the body. That's a great way to end any story there.
That's the kind of thing, you know, little boys grow up with.
Was it called grab ass for you too? Was it grab ass or roughhousing?
Because never play grab ass. You know, there was these two technicians up in Washington.
Sure. There was some guy that I went to school with, and you don't even want to know what happened to him. All right.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, another thing about decaf is it's got all the toxins of regular coffee with none of the payoff.
Well, that's what I mean. It's like having a... You know what it is? Decaf is like alcohol-free beer. All the vile taste, none of the actual drunkenness.
I don't get it.
Yeah. It's like safe sex or something. Yeah. Boy, that's going to get irritating. Here's Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom.
So why don't we talk about Joe Millionaire? I was talked into watching it last night by our own Sarah, and I watched the entire hour.
I thought you would have watched it last week.
No, I didn't. Did not.
No, it's a great show. They're doing both episodes this Thursday, by the way. Doing a recap. They're doing episodes 1 and 2 back-to-back on Thursday.
So here we have the 50 Minutes of Fame being extended for Melissa Mowry, the Minneapolis woman competing in the show Joe Millionaire.
She's witty and spunky, and I really thought that girl's got some potential.
This guy's really got kind of a cool voice. He could totally do those, you know, Rock 101.
Did you notice that Heidi got cut last night?
Oh, man, Heidi.
Oh, yeah.
Heidi, I was the captain of the I Hate Heidi fan club. Can I just tell you how much I...
Melissa Joe got picked, though.
See, I don't have the problem with Mojo that everyone else does. I don't have the big hang-up.
Mojo?
Are you watching the show?
Not at all.
Man,
you should.
Keep your criticisms to yourself.
I'll do the double on Thursday, catch right up with y'all, and I know where I'm at.
You know who I like is, in as much as it's possible to like any of these women, who I think we can all agree are pretty hideous as a rule, I like the kind of dorky Princess Leia girl. No, the girl that he was calling Princess Leia.
Justin thinks she's hot.
I don't know that he thinks she's hot, but she does seem sort of goofy, which
she
I kind of like.
A little off.
No, she does seem off. That's what I mean. She seems kind of dorky, which is, you know, she's not... The other women are all just sort of... They're all kind of, you know, they're a little too princessy for me. Like that one girl who was even like, and everybody calls me their little princess. My father, my mother, my brothers. And it's like, die. You know what I mean? It's just, but every moment I watch the show, I'm more convinced that he's actually going to be a millionaire or they're going to give him $1 million at the end or something because it.
He's prepping it too much. He's like, oh, and I came from nothing. He says that every time.
Well,
he's too well-spoken to be a blue-collar worker.
Not only that, he rides a horse a little too well.
Yep.
But the other thing is that he's a little too quick to always underline his poverty. Last night he goes, well, Heidi came out looking like $1 million. Beat. Not that I'd know what $1 million looks like, of course. Ha ha. Which is just, it's gratuitous. It's protesting too much. But the question that I had last night, though, if my theory is correct, if he actually is already a millionaire, wouldn't that could have get out, like, wouldn't somebody go, well, by Jove, it's Bob from the club. You know, like, wouldn't someone of the other, one of the other millionaire guys in the country have recognized him and said, hey, it's so-and-so from the Hunting Society?
What, you think they're all, like, in the, you know, some, like, little secret society where all the millionaires hang out together?
Well, they probably don't watch Fox.
Yeah, the Masons.
Yeah, millionaires probably don't watch Fox anyway. Who are we kidding?
The butler on that show, turns out he's a real butler. He's also a former Australian embassy counselor stationed in Buenos Aires. I wonder if clients heard of him. He came out of retirement to become a sophisticated manservant. He's also a member of the prestigious International Guild of Professional Butlers.
I thought there was going to be some Magnum P.I. twist at the end where it turns out that the butler is really the guy or something.
Nope. But he's a real butler.
I don't have anything. Hey, I think my hiccups are gone. Tempting fate, I know, but... No, I think they've vanished. Okay, I think my CO2 has finally righted itself. I have to go inspect this caffeine business now. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland at 1-800-727-5955. We got more on the way, including your phone calls, Gary Baumgarten from CNN Radio, also Jim Roop. Later on, the top five, Jolie from the front desk, News at Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis, Likas, Phil Hendry, all coming up today. Don't go anywhere. It's 503-250-1080. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Stay there.
Musical wizard on the verge of being told. Steady spin with the lyrics, swing, roll. Getting down, never climbing around. And it's found. How you doing it?
James Brown.
Cut executive, cut into second sex. To make twin height hit record. He's
number one.
And this I vow to me. Do it to the crowd.
Live from Portland, it's Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
The great thing about working at KOTK is how you just don't have to have any standards or any of the traditional broadcasting sort of rules. Go on the air, can't speak properly, hiccuping, making up news, doesn't matter.
I am already so entertained today.
It's with a very free hand that we can do this show. All right, here's, you look nice today.
Thank you.
Is that, you're wearing this, that's not gingham though, it's just checkered? What's the difference between something being gingham and checkered?
I have no idea. But I thought that's at Value Village.
A black and white checkered, now is that a jacket like to protect you from the cold, or is that one of those like it's part of the outfit jackets?
I think it served a little bit of both of those purposes.
You look nice today, it's a great outfit.
Thank you.
All right, here's Sarah Dillon with the traffic.
An opinion? Pick up the phone and call. Lines are open at 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
You know, they're closing that Kmart in Kennewick, Washington, which means that about 40% of that town's entertainment value has just gone down the hill. There's now officially nothing to do there but the mall. 503-250-1080 in Portland, 1-800-727-5955. I think I've come to the conclusion it was decaf. Because it's now been about an hour since I started drinking it. And I, you know, you coffee drinkers know what I'm talking about. It's like you can track your buzz. You know what kind of buzz to expect. I'm just not feeling it. But then I started putting down my own brew about half an hour ago. And I'm feeling a little perky. I'm feeling the perk coming on. Speaking of perking, whatever happened to perk coffee? Anyway. We'll get some calls about Joe Millionaire here in just a moment. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland and 1-800-727-5955. Let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show, CNN radio correspondent Gary Baumgarten. How are you, Gary?
You know, Rick, I almost made a big error yesterday. I almost took decaffeinated coffee home, and I wouldn't be on the air with you today if I had.
Let's talk about decaf for a second. Now, how did your error almost happen?
Well, I wasn't reading the label very well. You know, it used to be all the decaf coffee used to be green.
Green, yes.
Not anymore. They try to fool you.
See, and to what end? Because if they do succeed in fooling me and I take their bad decaf coffee and I drink it, all I'm going to do is come to the conclusion that I don't like that kind of coffee.
Exactly.
So I don't understand what that's all about. And it does make me wonder why decaf even exists. I mean, unless you're using it to make some sort of a coffee beverage, like a mocha or something where you need the hint of coffee without caffeine. But even then, I don't even really understand. It's like alcohol-free beer. It implies that someone's taking it just for the taste, which seems unlikely.
Exactly.
Yeah, and especially in radio. I mean, I don't know how it is working for CNN, but here, you know, you take away coffee and this place grinds to a halt.
Oh, no, we're dead.
Yeah.
We're dead in the water.
And so
now the listeners heard a little bit of insight about our industry.
Yeah.
That we're all on coffee.
I'm telling you, man, we're all hooked on it. So you were at the, now there was this meeting, it was last night, if I'm correct, about the rebuilding of the WTC site.
Right.
Now, what is the general consensus about what they're going to do at what is now Ground Zero?
Well, you know, there are nine, as you know, Rick, final proposals that are on the table, and they were selected among a bunch of others that were proposed. Well, the seven developers, seven architects were selected among a bunch of others, and they were given a couple of months to come up with these plans, and one of them came up with a couple extra ones, so that's why there are nine rather than seven that are being offered. But the thing about it is that the process has occurred so quickly, and in a way that's good because we want to get on with life here in New York City. We know we have to rebuild the infrastructure of Lower Manhattan, but people feel like they've been aced out of the process. And one public hearing at which you can give public comment or giving public comment over the internet is not enough to satisfy a lot of people who are fearful that this sort of like a backdoor deal going on here. Nobody really knows from this point on who's going to be the final arbiter of what goes on in there. And in addition, it was real interesting because as I walked into the auditorium and people were lined up to go in, there were people standing out there hawking their proposals for the World Trade Center. Freelancing them. And you know what? Some of them were pretty neat proposals, and they were not considered. And so there's just this fear that the process is moving along a little bit too quickly. And in fact, some people feel that it ought to be put to a referendum.
And what I'm unclear on still, and I don't even know if there's any answer to this, is it the people who actually hold the title on the land, or is it the city who actually gets to make the final decision on this?
They are not even clear on that. First of all, you've got the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey. They own the land. And then you've got the developer who claims the right to do whatever he wants, and then you have the interest of the city at heart, too. You got the mayor saying, look, we'll swap your land. We'll give you the airports if you give us a World Trade Center site, because two of the airports in New York City, JFK and LaGuardia, although they're run by the Port Authority, the land is owned by the city. And so the mayor says, let's do a swap. And, you know, obviously the value isn't going to be equal, but you can have a trade of money to make up for the difference. And that seems to have gone nowhere. The the leaseholder, Larry Silverstein, marched out of a meeting with the Port Authority, angry at what they were proposing to do at one point. And the Port Authority and the Lower Manhattan Development Corporation, which is supposed to be picking what goes there, are sometimes seemingly at odds as well. So it is very, very confusing for all concerned as to where do we really go from here and how and who's going to make the final decision.
One more question, which is, I'm not really familiar with many of the proposals with the designs, but do these call for sort of people to be working in these in what the structures that go up there again? Because the obvious question is they want to put some sort of business building there again. And who is going to ever want to work there?
Well, you know, it's real interesting. There are two major schools of thought. One is that you have to have something a little lower profile, both physically lower profile and in terms of psychological value, a little lower profile, so that they are safer. There are others that say, put what was there before, put something bigger as like, you know, flipping the bird at Osama bin Laden, that you can't knock us down and keep us down, we're going to rebuild. So there are people who say that they would move in. I don't know. I know that the Empire State Building has had some problem getting people to lease space because it's now the tallest building again in New York City.
Yeah. All right. CNN Radio's Gary Baumgarten. Thank you, Gary. Appreciate it. 503-250-1080 in Portland, 1-800-727-5955. More Tim Riley in just a moment. We're going to get Dominic in a moment and Bob. Adam in Hillsborough, you're a first-time caller. What's up?
Yeah, right on. The talent.
yes, at long last. What do you got?
Well, I wanted to say about Joe Millionaire, I think I got some evidence on him that he's no $19,000 a year construction worker. He came on the show yesterday, right at the very beginning, I don't know if he caught this or not, but he was saying how his clothes were ripped in the combine.
In a combine.
Did you totally get that or what?
Well, in a combine, which I thought he was a construction worker.
Yes, exactly. Combine. Isn't that like farm equipment?
Yes, yeah. What kind of construction workers using a combine?
No, totally. And then they show them on these, you know, tractors and skids.
Especially
and all
in California. I mean, if you're in Iowa.
I got this guy pegged. You know, I am totally with Matt on this, you know, even though I want to say, you know, F Matt. But,
what with Matt? What do you mean with Matt? Matt didn't do a damn thing. It's all Sarah and I. This is Sarah and I's theory.
Right on.
Matt's a Johnny come lately on the theory. All right. Hey, thanks for calling. You spreading the word about the show?
Absolutely. Every day, brother.
All right. There you go. It's Adam in Hillsborough. Call us anytime. Let's get one more here. Dominic in Portland, a first-time caller.
Yes.
What's up?
Hey, Rick. What's up?
What do you got?
Hey, I heard some information. This is just for my wife. I don't really watch the show that much. But isn't his last name like Marriott or something like that?
Yeah, which is like the hotel chain.
Yeah, and I also heard that from what she, you know, all of her pals and everything, that, you know, that he's worth a lot more than what we think. I think he has a $19,000 job, but I think it's his daddy's company or something.
Well, that's
like
the thing
that.
Is, and there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of rich kids out there that go, you know, dad's independently wealthy, and so they want to go slum it and hang out on the Peace Corps or something.
Exactly.
You know, it's a lot easier to have a, And it's the weirdest thing about you know, a lot of people who come from money. It's they get this weird fetishization of, like, poor culture. It's a lot easier to go take a $15,000 a year job or work in, like, Costa Rica or Central America or something with poor people when you know that you don't have to be there. Like, when you know that your dad can pluck you out of that existence at any moment with his trust fund, it's a lot easier to take those jobs. So, strangely enough, you find a lot of, like, rich kids in those low-paying jobs because they think it's, you know, because it's like going to the zoo for them.
Right. Well, I just thought I'd pass the word.
Right. There you go. There's Dominic in Portland. All right, it's Tim Riley in the KFGK newsroom.
Okay, so anybody waste your time with that Dick Clark show last night?
No, Roop's going to tell us about it in like 20 minutes, which is good because he's the only person who even saw it because none of us watched it.
Anyway, I got a couple of bites from it. Elton John said he enjoys watching the Osbournes on MTV, but says he especially enjoys watching his friend Sharon because it reminds him of some of their wild days before Ozzy came into the picture.
I've known Sharon for longer than I've known Ozzy, and we go back a long way, and we've done some things together in the past that probably wouldn't be worth mentioning. But I love the show. I'm very pleased for them. They're two of the nicest people in the business, and I'm thrilled for them.
So there. And then George Lopez surprised many with his vulgar jokes and some of the words he presented last night. He says, if Ozzy can do it, so can he.
How can you not be influenced by Ozzy Osbourne and everything that he's brought to television in the last year? So I think that we're going to probably stretch the boundaries of language. And, hey, I do it on my show in Spanish, and why not take a chance and do it in English?
What channel is it? Was it on K2 or something? What channel was it on?
I think it was on K2, yeah. ABC.
Because ABC is really known for pushing the envelope content-wise. They're really known for their edgy, controversial fare.
Missy Elliott wants us to know she lost more than 20 pounds and has a new outlook on life.
I mean, with losing Aaliyah, it made me, you know, realize once again how short life is. And I try to spend a lot more time with my family.
Is it like in body weight she lost Aaliyah?
Tell them how much I love them. So it changed my life a lot. Drastically, actually. But I'm still
missing. No, I'm just saying. Come on, it was laying there.
Oh, my God.
I had to go with it.
She says that.
It was laying there. It was floating there. It was
like, bah.
All right. And then we have Pat Boone, his opinion on Pete Townsend's problems.
Oh, God.
He, like a lot of people, will say that it was just curiosity. It's human nature to be curious. So I don't know enough, really, to discuss it. But certainly that whole area is about as low as human beings can get.
Now, I got something that just came over on the AP.
Is this about Pete Townsend?
It is, but they're taking back something they said.
Good, because I don't even like talking about
it. Okay, so I'll do this real quick.
It's creepy.
At a January 13th story, the rock guitarist and co-founder of the Who, Pete Townsend, the Associated Press erroneously reported that he had admitted using his credit card to download images from an internet site.
How do you erroneously report that?
So they erroneously did.
Well, what kind of mistake is, a mistake is when you put four instead of five.
Good.
You know what I mean? Or when you put, you know, two R's in a word instead of one. How do you erroneously say Pete Townsend, who is 62 and founder of The Who, and by the way, paid to download child pornography from the internet and also enjoys gardening? Like, how do you just slip that in?
Yep. So that they admit.
Swell.
So
all right.
That's that.
Let's get Bob, who's a full-time listener. And Hot Talk to Nitty KFTK. What's up, Bob?
Hey, this is Mark on Good Morning America. They were showing where the millionaire, Joe Millionaire, went to school at a private school in Virginia Beach.
And so he was like a prep school or something? Or?
Yep.
Yeah. And as Tim knows, everybody who comes from prep school is independently wealthy.
Well, it's going to sound a lot more like you're right, Rick.
Yeah. No, I'm telling you, man, it's Sarah and I, we're out front on this. We're taking the lead on this. All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland, or 1-800-727-5955. More coming up, including CNN Radio's Jim Roop, can tell us about the lowest-rated AMAs ever. Also, top five, Jolie from the front desk. We got Clyde Lewis with news at Ground Zero later on today, Likas and Phil Hendry. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk 1080, KOTK.
When I wake up, people take up mostly all of my time. I'm not singing, funky singing, because I make up all rhymes. Me.
Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
We are
right.
So right about this.
Oh, about the millionaire thing?
Yeah.
And having already kind of come to the conclusion in my head that it was possible, it now seems likely. Everything I see, the longer I watch the show, the more I become convinced that I'm right.
Oh, for sure. I mean, even last night, I hate to say it, but I got a little bored watching it last night.
Well,
it was just him repeating the same thing over and over again. He kept saying, you know, I came from poverty and I
have
no money.
And I don't know how to drink wine or which fork to use properly.
And it's like, I mean, I think a lot of us here, you know, me, you know, I didn't grow up with a lot of money, but I know which goddamn fork to use, you know what I mean? It's like he's overplaying the whole noble savage thing. It's like, I don't, you know, so what, you only make $19,000 a year? Everybody knows how to do certain stuff just by hanging around on planet Earth long enough.
Being a human.
And he's a model. That's the other thing. He's a construction guy or whatever, and part-time.
And he was on a soap opera?
Right. He was a part-time model, part-time TV actor, so we already know he can act to further the lie. And just by being a model, it seems like you're going to move in that upper circle enough that you would be a little cultured, so you wouldn't be the bumpkin that he's trying to pass himself off as.
God, do we have live?
No, none. No, not at all. Here's Sarah with traffic.
Well, you know, traffic is...
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Alright. 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. So forth. Coffee nightmare. Rick, I worked for a man that was so cheap he would brew a pot of coffee reusing the grounds from the previous pot.
Yep, I worked in places like that.
I would constantly go behind him and dump the grounds and make a fresh pot. Seriously, that's like stuff my dad would do. It's the biggest cheapskate you could possibly imagine. Reusing stuff like that. Stuff that's not meant to be reused. It's like washing your toilet paper. That's what that's like. It's like your mom washing off a paper plate. There you go. Use that again. You know what I mean? You can't do that. Here's Tim Riley in the Cage Game Newsroom.
Well, let's see what's on TV tonight. UPN's Funky Flubs. Outtakes from the Parkers, One-on-One Girlfriends, Enterprise, and the Twilight Zone. The Deer Hunter's on tonight, 1978, Robert De Niro.
Let's go back to Funky Flubs for a moment.
Let's go back to One-on-One Girlfriends.
I was going
to
say,
what is that show?
I don't even know what that is.
Oh, it's two separate shows. One-on-One and Girlfriends. I'm sorry.
Well, that's less interesting than that's less interesting than what I was thinking about. All right. Haven't we moved past the era when, I mean, those hideous blooper shows are just, I mean, did we all get tired of that like 20 years ago when Dick Clark was hosting it with Ed McMahon?
He'll probably bring it back next week. What else do we have on tonight? Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Oh, that's actually a much underrated film. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids is actually a fine little sci-fi film, you know, for what it is. Hey, you want to see something cool, though? As much as I'm opposed to all things Disney-esque, you see that Honey, I Shrunk the Audience thing at Disneyland? That's actually pretty amazing.
E! True Hollywood Story, The Life and Times of Phyllis Diller.
Phyllis Diller?
Yeah.
You know, the people who get E! True Hollywood Stories now, it's like they're just scraping the very bottom of the barrel. Who did I see the other day that had an E! True Hollywood Story?
They had 90210 on last night.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
It's probably sitting on my TiVo. I haven't... The TiVo's just... I'm so behind on my TiVo watching.
I've got a friend that might be interested in that. You should dump that to video cassette.
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah, your ass has cable. Don't you?
I've got cable, but I don't have a TiVo.
Well, it's not my fault. You have a VCR. Get to taping.
Speed 2 Cruise Control is on tonight.
Jason Patrick, is his career just nosedived or what? Remember when Jason Patrick burst on the scene with Rush with Jennifer Jason Leigh, which is a great movie, scored by Eric Clapton? It was a fine movie starring one of the Allman Brothers, Dwayne, I think. And then after that, it was Sleepers, which was okay but less successful.
Wasn't he in The Lost Boys?
Lost Boys, yeah, there you go. So Lost Boys, Rush, where he peaked. Then Sleepers.
Sleepers was a good movie.
Sleepers was a good
film,
but...
It was kind of dark and demented, so not a lot of people love it.
Speed 2, Cruise Control. And so now he's back trying to do Rush again because he's in Narc with Ray Liotta.
Oh, speaking of that, we spoke with Ray Liotta recently at a sidewalk cafe and thought if he looked different in the film than in real life.
Yeah. Well, let me put it this way. I was able to watch this movie easier than when I watched other movies, but basically, you know, an actor watches a movie and you're just, you know, looking at all the things that bother you physically. So, and this, I looked so different that it made it easier for me to watch. But putting on the weight was just fun. It just felt right. Shaving my hair back, I'd played characters that age before and had put on weight, but this one, well, I really went for.
All right, whatever. I just feel so sorry for Ray Liotta, because it's like, to start out, you know, when you get... I don't know what he did before Goodfellas. I mean, no one knows what he did before Goodfellas. That was the only movie where anybody became aware of him. And after that, he did Unlawful Entry, which is like the last good Ray Liotta movie ever. That, and he looks like the T-1000.
Let's see, so that's, I guess, showing at a theater near you or something. Now, what else is on tonight? We have Next Friday, starring Ice Cube and Mike Epps.
What a fine movie that is.
Also on tonight, VH1, the most outrageous game show moments. Then 100 moments at Rack TV, followed by another 100 moments at Rack TV. Oh, Rack TV.
I'm waiting for them to just do a list of the best lists ever. That's the eventual end of this whole VH1 thing. They're just going to do a whole 100 greatest VH1 lists of all time.
Well, let's see what the kids are watching tonight. TRL Video Countdown and 3 South and WWE Tough Enough 3. That's on MTV. And The Real World. I'm not sure where they are these days. Where would they be? Sacramento or something?
I don't know where the new Real World is. Where is the new Real World? Does anybody know?
Matt?
Sarah?
Is it still the one in Vegas, or was that last season?
They
were filming last spring break. A bunch of my friends.
I have nothing.
Bumped into them.
The last one that I saw going on was Vegas, and that was maybe a month ago. I saw a Vegas show.
Maybe they're coming to Portland.
I quit caring after Puck. It's impossible to top Puck. All right. Okay, we got more on the way, including a Jim Roop from CNN Radio. Later on, Clyde Lewis with News at Ground Zero. More your phone calls, surely, from the front desk. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk 1080, KFTK.
From Portland, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK. They bring